You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool. We're getting back in our rhythm now at the top of the second hour, Saturday, November 2nd. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and Winston Smith joining us via telephone tonight as we broadcast to you live from our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting around the world at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Jumping directly back into the news, Winston, John Rocker, yes, that John Rocker, the former Major League Baseball pitcher, has written another dynamite piece for World Net Daily, during which he takes to task the media's double standard for NFL dads. Here's what he's talking about. It's a tale of two fathers in the NFL. One of them is San Diego Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers. He's the father of six children, with a seventh one on the way. He sat down with a reporter recently to talk about football, and the reporter chastised him for having six kids. The reporter said, regardless of your profession, it's impossible to be a good parent to six kids. There's not enough hours in the day. Now, the reporter, of course, can say that about Philip Rivers because Philip Rivers is a white man and a Christian. He is a Roman Catholic who has all six of his children, including the seventh one, which is currently en route with the same woman, his wife, to whom he has been married before the first one was born. Now, there is also the case of Adrian Peterson, who is a running back, a black running back for the Minnesota Vikings. According to the mainstream press 2 weeks ago, he was father of the year. You see, he has six kids too, all of them out of wedlock, each of them with different women. But he was painted into being the father of the year because one of his children died. And I was watching Adrian Peterson be interviewed about the death of his child, and I was like, he's never met this kid. You know, I'm not talking about stereotypes where, you know, the black dad doesn't know his kids, which is true in many cases. But I was looking at it and I said, you know, this guy's never met his kid. There's no way he could be that calm, cool, and collected and talk about how he's going to go out and play football the next day when he just found out his son had died. And sure enough, I dig a little deeper. He had never met this kid. This kid was 2 or 3 years old and he died, and he didn't meet him. Didn't even know he existed, I should say, until he was in intensive care. And what happened was, of course, the child horrifically was abused by some other man that the mother was with, and he ended up dying. Well, Peterson was depicted as father of the year, John Rocker writes, and the victim of a vicious tragedy throughout all the media. And, of course, the senseless murder of a small child is something that we all abhor. But he is certainly, Adrian Peterson, not the saintly father the media has portrayed him to be. So, Winston, sink your teeth into that. John Rocker brought to light this double standard. Philip Rivers derided as being incapable of seeing after his children, all of which he had with the same woman, a Christian relationship, a loving nuclear family. Adrian Peterson, on the other hand, never even meets one of his kids. He dies, and he's extolled as a virtue of fatherly example.
James, like John Rocker, like you, like every right-thinking American, we do see this double standard here, and it is absolutely galling. It reminds me of the hatred that I see on certain message boards when somebody brings up, when there's a news item on the Duggar family, the Arkansas family, where they have like 20 kids or something like that. And if you read those comments, you will never see as much hatred anywhere else that you will see there. There's something that brings out so much hatred when white families have a lot of kids and take care of them and are responsible. those people are attacked mercilessly. They are attacked with an unbelievable venom and vitriol that is frightening to see. I swear the people who are writing those comments are pounding their keyboards with hammers to try to make their point. However, if one of us makes a point about how many women on EBT are having child after child after child, we are called as vile names as are the Duggars. Why is it that this quarterback, this white quarterback, who is responsible, who cares for his children, and simply wants more than he can take care of, why is he so vilified? And yet this black football player has kids by multiple women. He didn't support them. He didn't take care of them. He didn't visit them. Didn't even know this one existed. And yet, as John Rocker says, he's treated as father of the year. Why is he a better example than this white quarterback who is responsible, has all his kids by one woman? The double standard is galling, and ESPN needs to be called to task on this.
All right, Winston, I'm going to toss it over to Eddie, but first I want to read the summation that John Rocker wrote for WorldNet Daily. And God bless John Rocker, and God bless WorldNet Daily. They are beginning to talk more and more about issues with the racial animus, and I think the political cesspool has shown them that it can be done, and it can be done effectively. Here's what John Rocker writes in summation. Black absentee fathers are a notable problem in this country, with nearly 70% of African Americans born out of wedlock, many of them never knowing the man responsible for giving them life. Think of how much better the inner cities, urban areas of America would be if these kids grew up with fathers who could help raise and teach them the basics of life. Maybe it's too much to expect when their role models are in the NFL, doing the exact same thing and are responsible for more than their fair share of bastard children. That's what Rocker wrote for WorldNet Daily. Thankfully, there is at least one NFL player who sets a great example for what a father should be and manages to take care of all of his children in a healthy family environment. His name is Philip Rivers, and we should celebrate him as the role model for our children instead of the irresponsible, morally deficient clowns that are all too common and extolled in professional sports today. Eddie?
You know, just as a side note, too, with this Adrian Peterson, you know, the news named, got six children out of wedlock. That's that they know of. I mean, it's probably three or four times that many. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't even know himself. I mean, you know, all these women out there, you know who their baby daddy is. And along the same vein, you know, I was in McDonald's yesterday getting two bags of ice. I have to have ice when I put in the bathtub, the ice down after my run. Did a 20.37-mile run today, Winston. I was in there getting my ice yesterday, and I looked up on the wall, and they had this black lady, black woman, and a black baby, and they were portraying them as that's some kind of a nice family. And I made a comment to another white fellow next to me. I said, you know, something is just glaring, jumps out at me. This father is missing. Here at McDonald's is a globalist company with a big picture of a family unit up on their wall, portraying that as some kind of a wonderful virtue to have a family, but with no father. So to me, that's a sublingual message that that's what they want. They want a fatherless family. Going to a break, looks like, folks. We'll be back to you in just a minute.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello in Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I were just talking during the commercial break about how great it is to have Winston with us tonight for some extended play, and it certainly is. It's a nice change of pace and a breath of fresh air. And Winston, you mentioned in that last segment the Duggar family, and I was actually talking with Sam and Eddie before the show started tonight about the fact that according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, now get this, folks, Josh Duggar, who is the eldest of Michelle and Jim Bob Duggar's children, Josh Duggar is now a hate group leader, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Have you heard about this, Winston?
I have not, but it doesn't surprise me one bit, James.
Well, if you watched the TLC show, 19 Kids and Counting or 20 Kids and Counting, I actually watched that show. My wife never misses an episode. I don't know how many Jim Bob and Michelle are up to now, but it's a great Christian family, really the model by which we should all measure ourselves, I think. And in a recent episode, it showed Josh Duggar, again, the eldest of the Duggar's children, moving to Washington, D.C. with his wife and his two or three children, however many he has now. He's on the road to keeping a quiver full. Well, it never says what Josh and Anna Duggar are moving to D.C. for, but as it turns out, he was named or accepted a job as being the executive director, Winston, of the American Family Association, which is, of course, a premier Christian advocacy organization. The American Family Association, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, is an officially listed hate group along with the political cesspool and just about every other decent group out there. Now, to be sure, the SPLC will sprinkle a couple of neo-Nazis, I mean, literal, you know, legitimate skinhead groups and violent groups in there. But for the most part, it's just good, decent people like us. And now Josh Duggar, hate group leader, according to the SPLC. And they'll make it sell in the media, Winston.
Oh, no doubt they will. After all, you know, the SPLC, they're involved in the U.S. government. Their president has a post in the U.S. government somewhere. I don't remember where it was. I'm sure it's easy to find out where he flies his hateful trade in the government. After all, his name, and besides, his name is Cohen, so that explains a lot there. You're not going to be seeing him at a Baptist or Presbyterian church tomorrow.
Well, Winston, you might know also that the United States Army declared the American Family Association as a hate group. This is the Army, based upon the intelligence they received from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
James, it's the thing about the SPLC that is so mystifying is that they have any credibility whatsoever. Anybody who can think knows that they're nothing but a sham. They are a corporation in the hate industry. When you start looking at the SPLC as a corporation, then it starts to make sense. They do not produce anything. They don't generate a product. All they do is they deal in innuendo, they deal in smear, and they let people who are deluded enough to believe them run with it. And those people are vocal, they are dedicated, some of them are very wealthy, and that's how they operate. Just start looking at the SPLC as a corporation, and it will all make sense. Look at it as a manufacturing company.
Well, they have a slick name. But obviously they are not an official governmental entity, and they are not a law enforcement entity. They are nothing more than a rabid anti-Christian, anti-American hate group by the truest sense of the word. And we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we were not listed on their group of enemies. The political cesspool, Josh Duggar, Sam Bushman, the American Family Association, the Family Research Council, James Dobson. I want whatever company that is, that's the company I want to be in. And if the SPLC deems that to be the enemy, then I want to be the enemy. And that's just all there is to it. And I don't want to spend too much more time talking about that. I didn't even intend to get into it. But when you mentioned the Duggar family, I had seen that this week. And wanted to bring it to the attention here of the audience. But Winston, very quickly, I want to try to cover two quick stories before we go to the next segment. We're going to welcome a guest. If you believe in God, you're going to be in the hate group eventually. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But I want to try to cover two quick stories before we go to the next break. Jakia McCoy is a 7-year-old. She was recently named the winner of the Little Miss Hispanic Delaware pageant after complaints that Jakia didn't represent Latino beauty because she is Afro-Latina. The organization that sponsored the Little Miss Hispanic Delaware pageant withheld her title or withdrew her title. And the reason is this contest, Little Miss Hispanic Delaware, requires you to have 25% Hispanic heritage. First of all, why is it so low? I mean, Eddie probably has 25%. No, but seriously, 25% Hispanic heritage to qualify. But since Jakia's Dominican grandmother came to this country as an illegal alien and has since died, the family was unable to provide proof, and the pageant took away Jakia's crown. So basically, you have this black girl that entered and won the Little Miss Hispanic Delaware pageant, but then they figured out she wasn't Hispanic, and they took away her crown. Now, here's my rhetorical questions to you, Winston. Can you imagine the outcry, first of all, if there was a Little Miss European American pageant and something like this happened? I mean, first of all, of course, there would never be such a pageant because we're all supposed to believe that the lie that race is a social construct. Mm-hmm. But if that was the case, this would be an international news story. It's just another double standard. But for the record, and to be consistent, I support the Little Miss Hispanic Delaware pageant and their rules. Everyone should be allowed to celebrate with pride their own unique cultural heritage, including whites. And frankly, if my daughter wanted to enter into a Hispanic or black beauty pageant, first of all, I would say no way. And if she did, I would hope that she would be disqualified because she's not Hispanic or black. But anyway, your thoughts on the Little Miss Hispanic Delaware controversy, Winston?
James, when I first saw this story, it reminded me of the old brown paper bag test that black organizations and black gatherings would apply. They would hang a brown paper bag outside the door, and if your skin was lighter than the brown paper bag, you were not allowed in. Now, there are a lot of black people whose skin is very light. It's still Negroid skin, and that's a biological classification. I'm not saying any sort of bad word, but they didn't want black people in their events unless their skin was sufficiently dark, and that's what has happened here. Even the Hispanic community applies this sort of test. If you don't look Hispanic enough, then you're not Hispanic. It's a double standard. It's hypocritical. Where's Al on this? Where's Al Sharpton on this? You know, the black girl was discriminated against. Was she not?
Well, by his judgment, I think that you would say it would be, but we don't even have time to get into this story, but I'm going to read it and just let it lay with the audience. There was a controversy in Louisiana recently with food stamp cards. And basically there was a glitch in the computer that gave the welfare recipients unlimited funds on their EBT cards. And they raided these Walmart stores, and they were buying groceries. They said they decimated the grocery aisles because they were taking advantage of the glitch. And it said that shoppers, and it shows a picture of the crowd, and it's almost all minority, if you will, or diverse, said that they had 8 to 10 shopping carts apiece full of groceries. How could you even – it's like a locomotive. Do they couple the carts together and like do it like a train? I mean, how could you push 10 cars, a single person? But so they were robbing the system. But the story – the AP story made sure to say that no laws were broken, even though these welfare recipients knew that they did not have enough funds on the cars. No laws were broken. And once the glitch was fixed, they left their carts, those who hadn't already checked out, left their carts wherever they stood, just abandoned them for the workers to put back on the rack. Another day in multicultural America. Stay tuned, folks.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, welcome back. A special feature now. Our one and only guest of the evening is joining Winston and myself on the air. Eddie the Bombiner Miller still here in studio. He's going to be dominating the third hour, so we're kind of keeping him on ice so he'll be fresh. But Winston, you know, I gave a speech a couple of years ago that you actually helped me write for the American Renaissance Conference, and I focused primarily on practical things that everyone could do to benefit themselves and their families. And I received an email, I guess it was last week, from one of our listeners. His name is Rob. And he also wants to focus on practical advice that we can all implement for the betterment of ourselves. And just a quick introduction. Rob is 43 years old. He lives in northeastern Connecticut with his wife, daughter, mother-in-law, I should say, and two dogs. He has been part of the non-establishment right wing, or cultural right wing, if you will, since the year 2000. In the intervening 13 years, he has discovered that the white American Christian people have adopted many non-workable ways of doing things, and Rob hopes to spread the word about better alternatives. He's distilled it down into five things, and each one is accompanied by a book recommendation, which I know, Winston, as the proficient reader you are, you will enjoy. These five things are hardly a complete list, Rob admits, but more like an emergency procedure for cultural survival in 21st century America. Rob also believes that we need to be healthier and happier as individuals and families in order to better influence the culture and ultimately the politics of the country in a better direction. So stay tuned, folks, now, actually I should say, for Rob's emergency procedure for cultural survival in 21st century America. Practical advice we can all use. This is what we need to be talking about more and more. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on, James. It's a great honor. I listen to you guys every week.
And I understand that. You know, this is my first time to talk with you personally, but I understand you've been a listener for a number of years and a contributor to the show. So as from one family member to another, it's great to be talking to you tonight on the air.
Thank you very much, James. So, yeah, all right, I'll try to run through this pretty quick. I mean, as an introduction, I believe that we win by not losing. That's the first thing, because there's a lot of just unhealthy things, and if we avoid the unhealthy things, you know, we're going to do a lot better. So number one, developing emotional intelligence. This is something that we get when we grow up, we mature, just naturally, but it's something can be learned and it can be coached, and it should be coached. We should be teaching children, you know, they should be teaching it in schools. The book recommendation is that I have is The EQ Difference by Adele B. Lynn, L-Y-N-N. And emotional intelligence is to less divorce, less quarreling, getting along better, and you'll do much better at work. You'll get promoted. You won't get fired as much, that sort of thing. Moving right along, the second thing, we have an epidemic of obesity in the country, and Michelle Obama's right to actually make it that her signature issue, but it's not really going to get too far with a lot of people who, you know, she's promoting this thing, Captain Vegetable, but, I mean, Captain Crunch is always going to win that battle if that's available, especially for people who don't really, you know, have the discipline to choose the right. But there's a book called The Science of Skinny, and it basically, food additives are like a drug that addict people and make them overweight. And so people who are overweight, it's not that they eat too much, it's they're literally addicted to the chemicals in the food additives. And so see The Science of Skinny by D. McCaffrey. Number three,
Rob, if I yep. could, yep. we can pace ourselves, and
okay.
Because each of the things you talk about are so important. I know it's commercial talk radio, and I know that time is limited, but I want to spend a little bit more time, if you will, on each of these things because they deserve a little bit more. Well, certainly more attention than we can give them tonight. And we're going to actually follow this up with a blog posting that Rob has written that is going to give you further background on each of these things. And going on down the list, number five is something that I certainly want to spend a little bit of time on. But I want to bring Winston in, if we can, Rob, to each of these points. And perhaps we'll set up the point and you give us a little bit of a background, and then we'll let Winston weigh in. But your thing about overweight, and the obesity epidemic that we're facing, you know, I look at pictures from the halcyon days of the 50s and 60s, and you just didn't see the morbid obesity that we see now. And I wonder why that is. If we could flesh that out a little bit further, you know, everyone seemed to be fit. Everyone seemed to be able. I mean, certainly there had to be some overweight people, but now, I mean, if you go out in the general public, just to talk about this one point in your list of five things that you want to bring to the audience's attention tonight, the rule rather than the exception is that you will be at least a little overweight, if not morbidly obese. So, Rob, why, first of all, has that become the norm? And then, you know, I'd like to get Winston to chime in on that. What's your opinion, Rob?
Well, really quick, I mean, according to Dee McCaffrey, who's a biochemist and researched this, that there has been a very strong correlation between more the American diet, people eating more additives, more processed food, and the increase in obesity. They go up together like railroad tracks. The correlation is just so strong. It's causation. It's got to be that. So, I mean, if food is in a package, if it's been chemicals have been added to it, if it's been processed, it's going to have drugs in it that, well, chemicals in it that addict people and make them overweight. That, as simple as that. You got to eat farm food. You got to eat food that your grandmother would recognize as food.
Winston, your take on this, because as I said, you know, you think of Americans growing up in a better day and age, and it was a robust, a hearty stock, and now you just don't see that.
You're right, James. The reason people get obese, the reason we have an epidemic of obesity is because people are eating way too much and not exercising enough. It's just that simple. But even if you eat a little, the food has to be nutritious, and that means it needs to be as unprocessed as possible. Our guest is absolutely right. These food manufacturers, they know how to get you to want more of their product, and they are treating their products as a drug. You know, look at McDonald's. They don't want you to be satisfied. They don't want you to walk away satisfied. They want you to walk away wanting more. And by the way, James, same for Crystal.
That's hitting below the belt, Winston.
But you folks, look at your food is there to support your body. Yes, you can make it taste good. You can make it attractive. But for the most part, your food is there to help your body work better. And if there's something that you're taking into your body that is not tending towards that, you need to stop taking it into your body.
Well, look, this
unprocessed foods.
This is why I was so fascinated by
possible, if you can.
This, Winston, was why I was so fascinated by Rob's suggestion for a topic on a show, and why he would make for a good guest. Because you look at, and I want to share this with the audience, a little background. You look at so many of the stories that we cover on this show. Look at the stories that we've covered tonight, for instance. We can't change what the Department of Defense is going to make the Marines wear on their heads. We're not going to be able to rewrite the law in California that offers infertility insurance to homosexuals. We're not going to be able to make the media portray Philip Rivers as a role model and Adrian Peterson as a pariah. We can make sense of these things. We can talk about them. We can offer our opinion, but we're not going to be able necessarily to change these things. But what Rob is bringing to the table tonight is items and ideas that we can all implement, that we can all reflect on, that we can put into action in our own homes that will help us. So I kind of pressed the brakes there, Rob, for a moment to offer folks a little bit of a background. You quickly went through two items. Let's see if we can get to number three, and then we'll have a commercial break, and then we'll really dive into four and five on the other side. But what's number three on your list of five things that you'll want to talk about? I know you mentioned quarreling and divorce, and then, of course, the overweight and obesity problems that we face. What's number three?
Okay, number three, people, they save up for their life savings, and they keep their money in banks, because they remember the old days when banks paid interest that was above the inflation rate, and then we didn't have confiscatory taxing and all kinds of financial fraud. And now, you know, but now when people get old, they go to the nursing home, they have all this money, they have a house, they have money in the bank, the nursing home gets it, the taxes get it. If you want your children to inherit any money, if you want to have life savings, you got to buy gold and silver coins. And, I mean, pay all your taxes. I am not a tax protester. I pay all my taxes, and I don't advise anybody to dodge taxes. But with your after-tax money, buy gold and silver. Make that your savings, because when it's time to bequeath it to your children or to the cause of your choice, all you do is hand it over to them. There's no taxes, no nursing home gets it, no nothing. And this is a secret that people need to know. It's very important.
All right, folks, stay tuned. More with our featured guest, Rob, tonight right after this.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Let's take care of your family and get it prepared, and help us take care of our brothers and sisters in arms. From now through Veterans Day on November 11th, FreezeDryGuy.com is offering 10% off everything for active duty, reserve, and retired U.S. military members and their families. No proof necessary. It's on the honor system. In addition, for every purchase you make during this period, we'll make a donation to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. Since retiring from the Army, the Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness and outdoor activities like camping. He's offering 10% off for active, reserve, and retired U.S. military and their families now through Veterans Day, plus donating to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation from every purchase. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or go to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we're back with Rob, who is our featured guest tonight, a political cesspool listener for a number of years, and he has for us prepared a list of five things, emergency procedure for cultural survival in the 21st century, and each of these five items is deserving of a full hour of commentary and analysis, and we're zipping through these, but we're going to have Rob back on for follow-up interviews as we continue to offer to you, our listening audience, practical advice you can implement in your own homes. You know, a lot of the things we talk about, as I said in the last segment, are things that perhaps we might not be able to change right away, but these are things that we can change at any time we desire. And, you know, Rob has talked about limiting the amount of quarreling that you do within the confines of your home, and certainly trying to avoid the mistake of a divorce. And the Bible offers great advice on the proper roles of a husband and a wife. And if those are carried out, I think that these problems will be eliminated. The problems that we have in obesity and diabetes were talked about in the last segment. And Rob, just before that last commercial break, you were talking about the risk that all of us face with losing our life's work and savings to taxes, nursing homes, inflation, etc. And you were getting to the solution right before the music started.
Yeah, buy gold and silver coins. Simple as that, and find a good place to hide them. And, you know, when it's time for your children to inherit it, you just open the safe and hand it to them. There's no probate involved. There's no taxes involved. There's no nursing homes involved. And I tell you, I mean, if people had known this en masse, if this country had known this, we would have a very different economic system. I mean, the way things work now just would not work. But so many people lose their whole fortune, you know, millions of dollars. I mean, it really is trillions of dollars. And if they had bought gold and silver, you know, it would be very different. People in China and India, they understand gold and silver is how you preserve your wealth. And the book I recommend would be The House of Rothschild by Niall Ferguson. He's a Harvard professor. It's kind of an economic history, and it's really very, it's very eye-opening, and you know, it'll make you understand European history much better.
If you're driving around in your car tonight and listening to The Political Cesspool on one of the AM or FM frequencies across the country, you might have a hard time writing down these book recommendations, but don't worry, because Rob has prepared for us, and I've already seen it. It's great. A very detailed article that will be featured on our website at thepoliticalcesspool.org in a few days that has for you included in it links to these book recommendations, as well as a detailed analysis of each of the 5 points we'll be covering tonight. I'm trying to pace ourselves and spend a little bit of time on each topic, but I really want to get to number 5 and get Winston Smith's opinion on that. But first, in numerical order, would come number 4, Rob. What's number 4 on your list of emergency
number
procedures for the survival of the 21st century?
We're letting people, foreign people, now nothing against the foreign people, but a lot of foreign people, in case you haven't noticed, own the liquor stores and convenience stores and other small businesses. And I mean, Americans need to own these. And the foreign people generally don't support the community. They don't, not in all cases, I'm sure, but the ones I see, they don't sponsor the Little League. They don't have anything to do with the community. You know, they almost consider us unclean. And one thing I've observed very carefully is they'll drive 2 miles to Walmart and buy their stock at Walmart, bring it back, and then people who on EBT cards, they mark it up 60%, and the people, poor people with EBT cards, buy the stuff that's been marked up 60% from Walmart because they don't go 2 miles down the street to get it from Walmart for, you know, half as cheap. And you know, and I mean, I look at that. I mean, that's a scam. That's really like gouging the poor. So, I mean, I think that people who are more responsible and actually care about the community need to own those stores. And so we need to be more entrepreneurial. And when we see a convenience store, we got to think, you know, we should be owning these things.
I had an email, Rob, that came in that talked about, I wish I could read it. I think I actually might have it here. And it really drives a point to what you're talking about. It said that, there was a study done in the 1800s that basically came to the conclusion that it was more effective to own people as corporate slaves rather than having them owned individually. Something to the effect that privately owned slaves cost more because you had to take care of them when they were a child, and then you had to take care of them when they were too old to work. That's not the case with corporatocracy. And that's, I think, to circle back to what you're talking about here, so many of our people, European Americans, have gone into the corporate workforce, and they're not getting into small entrepreneurial businesses, as you're speaking of here, convenience stores, taxi companies is something you mentioned, and some of these franchisees, whether it be gas stations or hotels even. Owning a successful small business, right, allows us more flexibility for homeschooling and gives us the opportunity to take a more active role in child raising and in the community with Pop Warner or football leagues and other things like that. Winston, do you have an opinion on this?
Oh, James, I agree with everything you and Rob have said. It wasn't that long ago that white people were entrepreneurs on one level or another. They had home businesses, you know, guys who could work wood. They made products and sold them. Women made soap. My wife makes soap, and we make some money off of our home industries. But white people were the driving economic force. What has happened is it's become too prohibitive and too difficult for white people to start a business. I think minorities, they receive some kind of assistance for starting minority businesses. But white people don't get that advantage. But I wish it would happen again. What's it going to take? I don't know.
Well, it'll take, well, first of all,
we don't have those opportunities. We got to be trying hard because we can, you know, it's prohibitive, but I mean, it's not absolutely impossible. So we just need to try harder.
Well, as I said, gentlemen, it's a tall order to talk about five completely different topics in two segments of commercial radio. We're trying to just gloss over them, and then we will revisit them on the blog in a more detailed fashion. And we're going to continue to have Rob on in a series to offer us practical advice that we can all be implementing. But this is, I think, number five, Rob, was your most important, at least to me. I mean, they're all very important, limiting divorce and quarreling within the family, trying to limit obesity and diabetes, saving one's work in life and pursuing small business opportunities. I mean, all of these are incredibly important. But number five, to me, pulled on the heartstrings a little bit more than the others. Let's talk about number five, and then I surely want to get Winston's opinion before he leaves tonight.
Okay. We have to keep our kids away from video games and television and stuff. These are super normal stimuli. If just like junk food, it's like junk food for the mind. If it's available, you know, you're going to do it. You got to be a parent. You got to be an authority and not be afraid to be an authority. And you know, my own daughter didn't watch television. And when she went to kindergarten, they thought she was a genius because she was a little bit intellectually curious. I mean, she was, you know, I mean, she's smart, not a genius. But, I mean, she was such a difference between her and the kids who watch television, and video games that she was much more engaged with the world. And now that she's older, and, you know, I tutor her in mathematics and you know, I tell her, you know, we got to stay up studying math because, I mean, those Asian kids are going to be up till 2 a.m. studying math and you're competing with them. They want your niche. They want your slot in college, you know. And so we have to really pay attention to our kids, kind of like them. If you've heard of Tiger Mom, Amy Chua, I'm about 25% of what she is, you know, but even that's, you know, even that's pretty good. And, you know, so we really have to help our children strive to succeed and keep the bad stuff away from them, not just the junk food, but also the junk culture, the TV and the video games are really awful. You know, what would happen if Thomas Edison had been able to play video games? Would he have invented the light bulb?
Wow.
No way.
Great point.
Right.
Great point, Rob. I mean, this is why we wanted to have Rob on tonight. My only mistake was scheduling for 30 minutes rather than at least an hour, because this is your notes to me, Rob. Number five, according to you, were helping boys grow into stronger, more successful men by avoiding video games and raising them with physical conditioning for sports, whether it be football or basketball or soccer or whatever, mixed martial arts, and teaching them mathematics so that they have a more masculine brain. How many parents, first of all, are able to do that? Because, I mean, both parents now have to work in many cases. But even if you can get beyond that, how many parents want to do something like that? You're talking to a lot of homeschool families here. I was homeschooled through high school. Winston and Bill Rowland have homeschooled their children. Winston, I know this is something you want to chime in on.
James, Rob, and Political Cesspool family, I want to say this to you, and please pay attention to it. The greatest day in the life of my family was the day we got rid of our television set. Commercial television has no place in our home. I am so glad we did it. My kids are inquisitive. They are smart. They are witty. They think. They, you know, I
I'm so proud of my kids because they did not have the influence of that mental junk food in my house. Folks, do consider it. Unplug that TV. Throw it out. It's not helping your family.
We've talked about five completely different topics tonight with Rob. And Rob, thank you so much for taking the initiative to send me an email and present to me the opportunity to have you on the show, for giving me a reason to have you on, and it being such a good reason, because this is what we should be talking more and more about, things we can all do in our daily lives that will make a positive difference in our families. That's where it all begins, in our homes. Rob, can we count on you to come back more often?
Thank you very much, James. It was a great honor.
The honor was all ours, my friend. And Winston, I know this is your sign-off. Eddie will be with me for the third and final hour, but thanks for being with us tonight, brother. I love you.
My pleasure. God bless. God bless, folks.
The Liberty News Radio Network.